Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome to episode number 29 of the FPL family in this 1920 season. My name is Lee. This is Sam. I'm Liverpool. You're Spurs. We will, guys, of course, be talking about the FPL family derby a bit later on and the Spurs-Liverpool game that happened yesterday. But Sam, did we see, in your opinion, two teams today that are possibly heading for the Premier League trapdoor?
Yeah.
Didn't look good, did they? Bournemouth didn't look good. Outplayed, outworked by Watford. I noticed actually in the comments, as I was coming in, Joe Finley Badder is in. Joe, how are you doing? Very happy, Joe Finley Badder. We've even got a poll question about Watford today, Sam. Never mind 42 seconds. It's a poll question.
I think I'm about to board the Watford train.
Goodness gracious me. Joe is in, as he said in the comments, he's in dreamland, he said. I wonder if Joe's in dreamland because of the Watford result or because FPL Family has finally got a poll question about Watford Football Club. Bit of both, potentially.
Watford are staying up, if you ask me.
Oh, 100% they're staying up. 100% they're staying up.
They are so far above Brighton and Villa and Norwich right now.
And Bournemouth today, guys.
Bournemouth, sorry. Yeah, I meant Bournemouth. What did I say?
You Brighton. Said Brighton. Brighton, I think, all right.
No, Brighton. I meant Bournemouth.
Jules will be very sorry, upset Jules. With you.
I meant Bournemouth. They're so far above those three. I don't see what.
Those two are going down today, aren't they? Bournemouth outworked by Watford and Villa outclassed by City.
Eddie Howe's next to get the sack, surely. Mm. Surely.
The one thing you have to do in the Premier League, guys, if you're going to survive, is work hard. And I tell you what, there was nothing I saw from Bournemouth or Villa today that suggested they wanted to put a shift in, and City absolutely put them to the sword. Anybody that bought in Mahrez this week, whether you're thinking about doing it as a long-term investment or you did it as a bit of a short-term punt, as I know Josh did, because I think Josh is working towards double Liverpool midfield for game week 24. So we bought Mahrez in as a bit of a two-week punt. Boom, absolutely sensational, couple of goals.
I remember a conversation Miller last week where I said to him, either this is genius
or madness,
or he's going to bench him. Yeah. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, literally, it's all or nothing with Mahrez.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was all about Mahrez.
And condolences, if that's the right word, to the Sterling owners and the Sterling captainers. That's yet another game week where you guys have been stung by the Pep roulette. It can happen, we know that it can happen, but that's twice now in quick succession for Sterling. So I can see a few Sterling owners going early to the Liverpool boys for 24.
Oh, 100%.
Can see it happening.
What makes me kind of, it's baffling to me really that, you know, at the beginning of the season, if we think back sort of 20 odd weeks to the beginning part of the season, before the season kicked off, and I was saying, you know, I'm not going to start the season with Sterling, and here's my entry plan for getting Sterling.
Yeah.
And somehow, we've got to game week 22. I still don't own Sterling, and I see no need to own him.
And you're still having an amazing season. Of course, we will be talking about that a bit later on in terms of game week points, how our teams got on, overall rank updates, and all that good stuff. But of course, before we get to that and we talk about the games, we've got to talk about polls, and we're going to do some hellos. So let's talk about the polls for today, guys. Get into the little white eye above my head. And the polls today come courtesy of, and I've just realised I put the wrong logo on there. This is not courtesy of the guys in the Slack. Although I'm sure the guys in the Slack would have given us plenty of questions
had we asked for them.
But these questions have actually come from the Instagram community. What a Muppet putting that on there.
My guys over on Instagram giving me.
The guys, the Instagrammers. Thank you, guys. I'm sorry for not representing you.
There's so many, by the way. So many questions.
That's good, isn't it? Really good. So, guys, thank you for answering these questions over on Instagram, at FPL Family. If you want to go talk to Sam over on Instagram, and I'm sorry that I've misrepresented you with the Patreon symbol. Of course, I should have put the Instagram symbol in there. But nevertheless, here are the questions from the Instagrammers. I'm going to go to my phone because I can't read it on the screen. There is a question, of course. So I have put a question in there myself. So a question from the last live stream where we talked about what your Liverpool double game week 24 strategy is. And I dare say that there were some questions that inferred.
There were actually
quite a few. So what I've done is I've sort of cut and paste the question from last week in terms of what are you thinking? Two defenders, one midfielder, or two midfielders, one defender? It's got an extra option. And that extra option is I'm now considering Bobby Firmino as the extra option.
Or as our little girl calls him. Si Senor.
She doesn't actually know his proper name. She just knows him as Si Senor, because that's what I shout every time he scores. And I, of course, did that this weekend. So that's the first question. Get into the polls. Answer that question. Has your Liverpool double game week 24 strategy changed on the back of the FPL family derby? Firmino scoring again away from home. Again, away from home, Firmino. So started to adapt your thinking. Let's see. The other questions from the Instagrammers. Thank you, guys. Tanishq Basu has said, with Aubameyang's red card... Red card for you, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was, wasn't it?
Dirty Aubameyang.
No, not in Aubameyang's nature, I don't think, to do that.
It was his face, actually. You could tell he didn't mean it when he said to the ref, and the ref gave him a red, and he went, ref? Yeah. I was going to cry.
Couldn't believe it, could he?
No.
And I think, didn't the ref book him, and then VAR gave him the red, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, I'm going to say he's unlucky, because when you look at the stills, the ankle does go, so yeah. It probably is a red for me.
It's a bad tackle, but not horrendous.
So nevertheless, 3-game ban, so... You've got to get rid if you're going to get rid. You're not going to hold him for 3 weeks, of course.
Oh,
you're not going to put 11 million on the bench or whatever. So,
yeah, but someone else popped up today, didn't they, as asking to be...
Absolutely. A bit more talk on Mr. Aguero. Now the highest scoring foreign player ever in the Premier League. What a guy. Overtaking Thierry Henry. So Tanishq Basu has said, with Aubameyang's red card, who do you think will be an ideal replacement for him? So get into the polls, guys. A little white eye above my head. There's a few options in there, of which, of course... Mr. Sergio Aguero is one of them. So have a look in there, see what you think. The next question comes from Tom Manctolo 21. Thank you, Tom, for the question. Who are the best budget midfielders? And by budget, he's saying under 6.5 midfielders to have alongside the big hitters that we're all trying to get in midfield. De Bruyne with another couple of assists today. Salah and Mane, obviously very popular with the double coming up. So who, Tom is asking, should we go for? Traore, Grealish, Saar, Cantwell or Moutinho? So get in there and answer Moutinho. Tom's question. Moutinho with another six-pointer.
Yeah, you beauty.
Another nice little six-pointer in a game where, to be honest, we'll talk about the game in a bit more detail. I was expecting Wolves to walk that, to be honest with you. 3 goals in 3 weeks for Miguel Almiron, Sam. The question I have for you, Sam Bonfield, is he essential? I think the answer you're looking for is yes, he is.
Right, you bringing him in then?
Of course I'm not, no.
Dread him to that poll question.
Yeah, Miguel Almiron, essential with a capital E. Right, KBrett92, thank you for the question. He's looking at a double up for Everton. So Everton again, squeaking out another little nice 1-0 at the weekend. Mm-hmm. Mason Holgate bought in by me and you this weekend. Very happy with those 7 points. So happy to see those. KBrett92 is considering the double up. So he's asked in the poll, which of those Everton assets are you looking at? You're looking at Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison, Holgate, Sidibe. Who are the best options there? Richarlison, and I know Tips is in, is... on a little streak, Sam. You cannot deny it anymore. He's doing very, very well.
I still don't like him.
You don't have to like him.
I really wanted that mug.
I don't like Jamie Vardy. He's in my team.
Look, it's not about whether I own him as an FPL asset. It's about the Spurs mug.
You just don't want to have to send Tips a mug.
I don't mind sending him a mug. I wanted the Spurs one, though, you see? So this is the problem. Yeah, I'll send him a Chelsea one. I've already said, send me your address. I'll send it to you now. Sigurdsson's not going to score 2 goals in 2 weeks.
Oh, you're cashing out, are you?
I might as well.
Sigurdsson, world-class performance incoming, guys, next week. KBrett92, thank you for the question about Everton. And then, goodness me, Joe Finley-Badder, don't faint, don't fall off your chair. A question about Watford, Sam, in the FPL family polls from Mohamed Zaid. Thank you for the question, Mohamed. He's saying, we talked about Everton a second ago. Watford now, of course. Of course, is Watford. Never mind new manager bounce. This is like they're all on bloody trampolines and rocket. I mean, goodness knows what's happening here. This is more than a bounce. They're putting in a shift. Deeney's back. I like his leadership. He's really lighting a fire under them on the pitch when you need him to. Absolutely like him. Like it. Well, no. Let me say, I don't like him, but I like what he's doing. No, I don't like Deeney. No, forget Deeney. No, I don't like him.
He was angry in the interview. He wanted to go and have his dinner.
Did he say that?
Yeah,
what did he say?
He said, come on, and he went, I'm starving.
He's quite good.
He's funny.
Joe, tell us what you think in the comments. He's quite good value.
He's funny.
He's quite good value.
Have you tried to give him the Man of the Match trophy and he was talking about being hungry? He's going to say to me.
He's quite a down-to-earth guy, to be fair to him, I think. Doesn't mean I like him. Nevertheless, Mohamed Zaid is saying, who is the best Watford asset? Now we should be looking at these guys. Is it Deeney? Is it Ismaïla Sarr, who we've talked about over the last couple of weeks on pods and shows and all sorts, right? Ismaïla Sarr getting a lot of airtime right now. Number 3, Deulofeu, who I don't think he got anything today, I don't think. I have to look at the game. Yeah, I don't think he got anything today. But nevertheless, historically, he's obviously a good pick.
Yeah.
One of the more threatening players in that Watford side. So Deulofeu's in there. Foster as well, and then you can see on the screen that Mohamed also put Yanmat in there. Now, I disagree with that. I think Decore, I've changed Yanmat to Decore, and the poll question is more about attacking assets from Watford, because Decore today played in that number 10 spot just off of and behind Deeney and looked really threatening. And maybe the goal today is the wake-up call we all need. We shouldn't have needed it, actually, because that's, I think, the fourth attacking return in 4 weeks for Abdoulaye Decore. And I know Deeney was saying in the post-match interview, both he and Decore were talking to Sky Sports after the game, and he was saying that Decore was playing a bit through the pain barrier today. So he's having to take a few painkillers. But that, I have to tell you guys, that is the sort of attitude that Pearson and Deeney have put into that side. I reckon under the previous regime, Decore would have been like, oh, got a bit of a niggle, got a bit of a knock, I'm not playing, don't feel like I can play. You say that against Pearson and Deeney, and they're like, you take that painkiller and get on this pitch, son, we need you. So fair play, he's gone on, got the opening goal, so he makes it into the poll, guys. So there we go, those are the questions, guys. Get into the polls, little white eye above my head, and we will obviously review the answers at the end of the show, of course, if I remember. I'm sure the guys in the live chat will absolutely remember. Let's say hello to a few people. I need to go to here, and then I need to go to here. Right, let's see. So, John Tremlett is in. Morpay at Brighton for under six. Yeah, we'll talk about Brighton in a bit more detail. I didn't think they were quite at it this weekend, to be honest.
I relegated
them in a ghost. Well, yes, okay. You put them in your bottom three. So
I didn't mean them in.
They are long gone. Alex Wicks is in. How are you doing, Alex? He's saying, how jammy is Henderson, Sam? Proper jammy. Cast your mind back to Friday. Jammy Henderson with the VAR call last minute.
I mean,
never a handball by Declan Rice. We're not talking VAR, but that.
It's not
the rule is nonsense.
Right, and that's the right thing. The rule is nonsense.
And VAR, make sure that the nonsense rules get enforced.
VAR did its job. The rule is nonsense.
That, not having it.
It's
Move
the
on.
Rule that needs to change.
Move on. Ferdy Moore is in. How are we doing? He says, hi, guys. 72 points minus four, by the way. 68 points
nice.
Net.
Very nice.
Finally a green arrow. That is a very, very nice score indeed. 72. Excellent. Charlie Campbell is in. How are we doing, Charlie? Very nice to see you. MU Fan TV is in.
Hello.
I've got a feeling MU Fan TV only shows up when MU win. When Man United win,
he's
here.
I've seen him for a while.
I'm kidding. Nice to see you, MU Fan TV. Jamie22 is in. Rashford out for Firmino, he says. Well, we'll have a look at that a bit later
Rashford
on.
Rashford on the back of that. You're going to take him out.
Well, we are going to talk about that a bit later on, because actually, up until this game week, I was absolutely going to do Rashford out for Firmino. And I know that Rashford goes to Anfield next week, but in 24, he's got Burnley at home, and Burnley are absolutely one of the whipping boys alongside Bournemouth right now that you'd want your players playing against. So I actually think, like, I feel like I want Rashford for 24, as much as I want Firmino as well. But hey, we'll talk about that a bit later on. FPL Fozzy is in. He's saying Lundstrom out.
What?
Why? Get in the comments. Let us know why you'd say Lundstrom out. Absolutely bonkers. Martin is in. FPL Schwartz from our patron is in. How are you doing, Martin? He's saying keep Rashford. Yeah, I'm thinking about it, Martin. I'll be honest. My mind has been changed, actually, over the last 24 to 48 hours. Mind has been changed. Two goals will do that to you. And what a performance, by the way. What a performance. Against teams that play that low block, that want to defend, like Norwich tried to, because they didn't play it that well, but they tried to do it. Juan Mata coming in and providing a little bit of creativity rather than just relying on that counter-attack. Finally, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has seen that they need somebody like Mata in the middle, and they were better off for it. But we'll talk about that a bit later on today. Our friend from FPLFL, James Alcott, is in. James, how are you doing?
Hi, James.
Hope your throat and your lips are better after that ghost chili. If you guys haven't checked out the latest FPL FYI video, appreciate all the FPL talk will now be out of date, but you need to go back and go and watch the last 10 minutes where James eats the ghost chili. Highlight for me of FPL FYI so far this season.
Absolutely. I'll see you later on in the week, James.
Yes, FPL FYI for you this week, isn't it?
Yeah. See James.
Very good. All right.
See if he's all right. Check up on him.
Check up on him.
Give him some milk.
Take him some milk and an ice cream. Yeah, absolutely. Milk. Jack O is in. How are we doing, Jack? FPL telling Josh is here. Of course Josh is here.
Of course he is.
First one in, Sam.
Well, I bet he was with the Mahrez thing.
Mahrez.
He's absolutely loving his life. Man United have won. Mahrez has come in for him. He's probably got about 800 points.
He was first in to comment, I'm telling you.
I bet he was.
First in to comment.
I noticed he was busy in the Slack as well, having a chat today.
We are. He's in the Slack. He's first in. He's all over FPL this week, Josh. He's all over it. Josh, welcome. Very nice to see you. Mr. Finley Badder is, of course, in. Joe, how are you doing? John Tyner is in. How are you doing? Flynn XD is in. He's saying Bobby's goal was disgusting. Disgusting. Sent the young lad to the shop. Well, he did on the goal, but I have to say, the young lad, Tangana, if that's, is that how you say his name? Tangana?
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm like.
Tanganga? Something like that.
I pronounce it like something different, but then I pronounce everything wrong. I
thought he had a very good game.
I thought he had an excellent
Thought he had an excellent game. So watch this space. He could be...
4 million. Nice.
Is he 4 million in the game?
He is indeed.
There we go. We'll keep an eye on him. If he
Given you've got to replace Rico now, he's not even playing.
If he can secure his spot, and that's a big if, but listen... More
well,
on
have to earn it.
More on the FPL Family Derby a bit later on. Anthony Richardson is in. He says, first red arrow in 2 months, down to 11K. Well, listen, Anthony.
Down
still
to 11K.
Very, very good. Yeah. Very, very good OR. 11K is very, very good. And you absolutely no qualms in. You don't need to worry about being 11K. That is absolutely sensational. Eric Lord is in. Phil Plum. Jeremy Perrymell. Optimus Prema and FPL Fozzy, a whole host of you guys. So guys, thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family. If it's the first time you've joined us, head over and hit that subscribe button. Leave us a like as well. And yeah, let's get on with the game, shall we? Should we get on with the games? Where should we start? I think we should start not at Spurs. We'll build to Spurs. But we should talk about what I consider to be... Well, tell me, did you think... And let me change the screen. There, by the way, is our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. We're also on Instagram, at FPL Family, as I mentioned before. Any Facebook news?
Yeah, I mean, I have posted to the Facebook, but... So we... For those of you that don't follow us on social media...
That's 99% on Facebook.
All right.
Who's the one guy that follows us? Doesn't Mark Dorney follow us on Facebook?
There's loads of them that follow us
I think it might be Mark and Martin from Patreon are the two followers.
There's more than two!
Go on.
So, Lee and I had a bit of a social media and just football blackout on Saturday afternoon.
We did. That was difficult, by the way.
Yeah, it was really hard. So, for those of you that haven't heard this, it was our son's birthday this weekend. So, we had a blackout. We watched everything late. So, we caught up on the games late, which actually made for a really interesting afternoon, didn't it?
Yeah.
It was, in some ways, good and in some ways, utter torture because I kept hearing these snippets... while we were at the party from my brother who would just randomly walk past me and go, is Danny Ings in your team? And I'd go, yeah. And he'd go, off. And I'd be like,
oh, yeah, yeah. That, you should make that point. It wasn't just a social media blackout for Liverpool Spurs.
No, no.
The party started at 3. So
from like half 2.
We literally had our phones off from half 2.
Yeah.
All the way mostly through. We turned them back on after Liverpool Spurs.
Which finished about half 8.
Which was about half 8. So your brother kept going, coming over and saying, got Tammy Abraham.
So, that was it. And so by the end,
wouldn't say why. Just no. Got Tammy Abraham,
and you couldn't work out whether it was a joke or like whether it was just plucking a name from thin air and just going, join him. But anyway, so we had a bit of a blackout. So it was only really yesterday evening when we watched Spurs. Obviously, we'd watched the Arsenal game at lunchtime, and we sat down and watched Match of the Day last night. That we kind of caught up.
I don't know how you guys do the Match of the Day challenge.
I don't know.
I don't know how you do that.
I could not.
So hard.
And in my head, when the Spurs Liverpool game finished. And during the Spurs-Liverpool game, it tracked along the bottom the scores from the games. And I looked at the scores and thought, I don't think I've had a very good week. And I said to you, I think I've not had a very good week. And then I checked my ticket. That was like literally the first thing I did was I turned on my phone. I was like, FPL, I need Fancy Football Fix to tell me where I am.
Moutinho assist, you didn't know it happened.
Moutinho?
Yeah. Holgate bonus point, you didn't know it happened.
So I actually only had one player in my team blank this week. Out of all of them.
Well, listen, we'll talk about our teams a bit later on.
It was really difficult. So my point of this rambling comment was, how you guys do it...
Don't know.
And don't know.
Don't know.
I just don't know.
Don't know. Let's get on with the games. Leicester City 1, Southampton 2. Now, tell me... I'm getting the comments, guys. I'm getting the live chat. Tell me how much of a shock you think that was.
No.
Now, on paper, that is a shock, right? Southampton against Leicester... you'd expect a home win given what's gone on this season. Now,
but I wasn't surprised.
We went on the FPL show on Thursday. I went on FPL FYI last week or earlier this week and talked about the fact that the 9-0 result back at the St Mary's Stadium a few weeks back was a watershed moment for Southampton Football Club. There's no doubt about it. Hasenhüttl was borderline thinking about going, or they were thinking about getting rid of him.
Mm.
Embarrassing, 9-0, you know, went down terribly. All the Saints fans not having it at all. I felt like from that game onwards, they have switched on, they've got defensively better. He's maybe changed the system a little bit. He's changed the mindset a little bit. And I felt like going into that game against Leicester, they were going to go there and go, right, we are not getting beat. We are not getting beat.
Yes.
And they were fantastic.
And I think, you know, I was reading off a stat on the pod and on the show this week about how since that moment, Southampton have conceded 13 goals in 11 games. They might have done 9 in one game, but since then they've only done 13 in 11. So there was a big change in Southampton. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they've always been brilliant, but they've been better. And defensively, they've been more solid, and they've looked like they were building back up again from that point. It was like, we've hit rock bottom, we're building. And for me, this game always felt like they would, of all the games that were left this season, this one would have been the one that they wanted to get something out, just sort of put that 9-0.
I feel like the Saints players, as soon as they woke up the next morning after that 9-0, they were like, right, when are we playing? When are we going to the King Power? Because we need to put that right.
And I think so. And so we both, without talking to each other about it, made the decision to bench Soyuncu this week. I just felt that Danny Ings would score somebody, that there would be goals for Southampton in that game. I also felt that Leicester would score. Now, I know you did a bit more than I did, because you kept saying, I think Southampton can win this game. I felt it was more likely to be a draw. I could see Southampton going there, getting a 1-1. I didn't necessarily see them winning the game in the way that they have. But very impressive from Southampton to go and do that at the King Power, because Leicester have been great this season.
Okay. All right. Well, before we talk about Danny Ings, because we are absolutely going to do that, we just had a quick super chat from Jake. Thank you, Jake, for the super chat. He's saying he put Salah in his team and now he's debating Firmino. Lots of Liverpool talk coming up, Jake. We're going to park that one, mate. We'll park that one. Loads of Liverpool talk coming up, probably next game, actually. But let's finish the Leicester versus Saints thing. The other thing that you guys are saying in the live chat is that, Sam, you're a little bit quiet. So I'm going to move this over here, probably because I like to shout and you just talk. So if you want to just project your voice a bit more, you go for it. Danny Ings then. Danny Ings.
Yeah.
As a Danny Ings non-owner, I can tell you...
Why?
After the social media blackout and it popped up that he got 5 points, I thought, oh, good. Okay, only the one goal. That's good. He could have had an absolute hatful in that game. Crossbar twice, couple of good goalkeeper saves. He dominated that game and he bossed Soyuncu all over the place.
He did.
Given that Soyuncu's having a very good season, getting a lot of plaudits, for Danny Ings to go and completely boss him,
yeah.
I think had I watched that game live, I would have, a little bit of weird had come out every time he got forward, I'll be honest. The fact that I didn't see the game at all until match of the day, I was just like, how have I got away with this? I can't not have Danny Ings for much longer.
No.
He's got to come in. Wolves at home next. He can score against anybody and I think he's got to come in.
I genuinely don't... So I just think that if Firmino or if one of the other big name forwards scored every single week like Danny Ings has done for the last God knows how many weeks it's been now, we would be all going,
yeah,
he's essential, he'd be owned by 60% of the game, if not more, and it wouldn't even be a thing. But because it's Danny Ings, and because everyone's like, oh, it's Southampton, and because everyone's kind of going, oh, is he just going to get broken and I'm going to be having to make another transfer?
You could understand that, though, with his injury record.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not saying you can't.
This is probably the longest stint he's had in his career, let's face it.
I'm not saying you can't, but I think it's because he is who he is and who he plays for that he's still not being viewed as essential. Now, in my mind, Danny Ings has been essential for possibly the last 6 weeks.
Well, Dread FPL is in the live chat. Thank you, Dread. He's saying Ings has been on a run since game week 12. Game week 12.
It's 10 weeks now.
Yeah.
And I just think that, for me, he's been essential. Essential. I'd have bracketed him as that for the last six weeks, probably. Mm. Maybe more than that. He's just unbelievable. He's unbelievable value. He's almost guaranteed every week. You feel like, I'm playing him regardless of who he's playing, because I feel that confident he'll return.
You won't be surprised to hear top for shots this week with nine. Second was Aguero. Third was Jesus. So we're going to talk about City a bit later on. But Ings beats them both, actually, this game week. So top for shots and nine.
As you say, I'm lucky not to have got more than he did.
Elsewhere in that game, though, Leicester City. How are we feeling about Leicester City right now? So didn't play out of their skin against Villa in the League Cup.
No.
Then go and lose at home to Southampton. Let's have a look at their upcoming fixtures. In fact, I haven't got the upcoming fixtures. Let's go here. Let's go in here and in here. There we go. Let's get Fantasy Football Scout up. Should have got this prepared. Hold the line, callers.
You just wanted everyone to see Bobby, didn't you?
That's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was. Now, where's the fixtures? Here we are. So, fixture ticker. Let's have a look. So, and let's sort by difficulty because that's always helpful to do. Leicester City, Burnley away next, which absolutely you're not going to sell them ahead of the whipping boys Burnley right now. No. Then West Ham at home, Chelsea at home, Wolves away, Man City at home. So three home games, a mixed bag at home. Burnley away and Wolves away in there. Third bottom in the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker. Does that put you off of Leicester at all, those fixtures, given that they look kind of difficult on paper? Or are you... Yeah, I mean, you're trebled up right now.
No, I'm not. Doubled up.
Yeah. Soyuncu and Vardy.
Yeah.
You kind of have... I would say probably happy to be doubled up rather than trebled.
Yeah, I wouldn't want three.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like Vardy is, again, I would bracket him in the essential category with Danny Ings because he returns... He's had a couple of weeks off from injury, but whenever he plays, he returns. So I'm happy to own him, of course, and I'm happy to keep the captain's armband on him. It won't stay on him over those difficult fixtures because there are, while he's got hard ones, there are some of my team that have got nicer ones. But I feel like Vardy is still in the essential category. Soyuncu is an interesting one because he is quite expensive in terms of the way I'm distributing my money for double game week, effectively. So I could easily take him down, but I still... look at those fixtures and think they're a mixed bag, but there are still certain games where I think there could be a clean sheet coming from him there. And we've seen some attacking returns from him already this season, so I'm happy to hold him on that basis and bench him for some of the more challenging games that they've got coming up.
I think the player Leicester really missed, and you guys in the live chat will support this, was Wilfred Ndidi. Actually, not having Ndidi there in front of that back four, shielding them, I thought left them a bit exposed, actually. Not just in the League Cup, but it's left them a bit exposed at the weekend as well.
Yeah.
And you know what Danny Ings is like? Danny Ings is really good at finding those spaces in a...
He's a poacher.
I was going to say in a Firmino's kind of way. He kind of sometimes drops a little bit deep and he finds spaces between the midfield and the forward line. He's very good at playing between the lines, Danny Ings. He was very good at Liverpool when he played, at playing in between the lines. And he is good at moving defenders around. So if you've not got Ndidi there... to fill those gaps and to you know pick up on players like Danny Ings, you are going to get punished. And I think they did miss Ndidi. I actually don't know, guys. Get in the comments in the live chat. Let us know how long Ndidi's out for. Is it a big one or is it a little one? Keep an eye on it. Because when he comes back, obviously your Leicester defenders become better assets. But while he's away, I wonder whether the amount of goals they concede might just creep up a little bit. And therefore Soyuncu still represents all right value, as you say, at 4 point something. Might even be 5 point something now. But Pereira and Chilwell, I thought Chilwell had a bad game.
Mm.
Pereira and those guys, they're at 6+ now,
they're expensive.
So they are a bit too expensive without Ndidi, in my opinion.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
All right, there we go. Summary of that game, get Danny Ings. It's time. It was time 10 weeks ago, guys. Come on.
I was going to say, you're about five stops too late, but go for it now.
Let's talk about the FPL Family Derby then. Spurs 0, Liverpool 1. Now, I, for one... almost an egg on my face here this weekend because I very rarely, and I won't say that we've won the league or anything, and all last week I was saying, I rarely come out and say, oh yeah, Liverpool win this weekend. Because you never know what's going to happen, right? But all last week, any of the streams that went, any of the pods, I was saying, you know, I'm very confident, I'm very happy that Liverpool are going to beat Spurs. Not just beat them, but beat them reasonably comfortably.
You thought you were going to smash us.
I even went on FPL FYI, and my at me when it happens was actually that Firmino, Mane and Salah all score once against Spurs. I was very confident that we were going to beat you. As it was, I mean, we did, but goodness me, Spurs put in a performance that has frankly been missing over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Very, very good. So before we get to Liverpool and thoughts about double game week and stuff, just give us your Spurs view. From an FPL perspective, did anybody in that game... including the young fullback, who I thought had a very good game, at 4.0 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there anybody there that you thought, actually, yeah, they could be FPL assets?
Yeah. I think there was a few. I think for me, it was a bit of a it was a bit of a watershed moment for me from FPL, because I have been absolutely adamant for the last couple of weeks that you should just get off Spurs, just get off. It's all going. Forget about it. Move on with life. Enjoy the other 19 clubs and forget that one. Actually, I think I watched that game expecting to be trounced. It was how
you were not confident. No doubt about it.
No, to the point where I almost said, I don't even want to record it. Just let it happen. Just let it be, and we'll just find out later.
Right.
But anyway, so I was really pleased actually with the performance. I know we lost, and I take that, but I was really pleased with the performance. I thought Tanganga was excellent, really excellent.
So 4.0 million. So the guys in the live chat, FPL Bix, is saying, what's your thoughts on Tanganga at 4 million?
Yeah, I think he went out there and did brilliant things for a guy that's making his Premier League debut.
Yeah.
He looked knackered by about 85
minutes. He's up against
minutes.
The league's best player, by the way.
Yeah, he played against Mane for 80 minutes or however long it was.
Yeah.
Until Mane went off, and did absolutely everything to control him, and he kept him quiet.
Mm.
Kept him quiet for the game, and I was really impressed. Now,
did you notice also Mourinho? He was so impressed with the kid that as soon as Mane came off,
he sent him to
Salah. More or less done his job, and he said, "Right, now you go on Salah," and you could see him trotting over there on the other side going,
off he goes.
"Are you kidding?" Like, oh my god!
And now I've got him. And I think for me, watching it, I've always been a big fan of our Belgian defenders, as you know, one of them in particular, and Jan. But Jan, for me, is getting... He's just not quick enough, and he's just not quite there to play on the wing. And I felt like Tanganga did enough to deserve a start again in game week 23.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't start in 23, I'll be surprised. I think he'll play Vertonghen in the League Cup on Tuesday against Middlesbrough, and I think he'll play Tanganga again in 23. He looked really good. And I
don't know how old the kid is, but his physique and his physicality and his speed, actually.
Yeah.
Not just, and I don't mean speed over long distances, I mean that initial burst of speed. I was impressed.
We've missed that kind of player that is like that. We've not really had that since Trippier. And Trippier, not even like the last couple of seasons, but it's Trippier of old. And Carl Walker, when we had him, those sorts of players that you know, were able to move the ball around a bit more and looked comfortable and confident on the ball when he was taking it away from Mane.
So Ellie Birch and Dylan Nadu, thank you guys, they're all saying Tanganga's 20. So actually not a spring chicken, but he's not like a baby. Do you know what I mean? 20 should be if he's going to break into the first team.
And
this is his chance, right?
I think he did enough. Okay. To start again. Now, we'll see if he does.
Yeah.
I expect Mourinho was really positive about him after the game, so I do think he'll give him another go.
Elsewhere, though,
Son,
I thought Moura actually played better than I've seen him in a long time. A bit between his teeth, actually. Went down like an absolute sack of spuds every time anyone even breathed on his shoulder, by the way, Moura.
Why would you not?
Well, that and a combination of Martin Atkinson reffing. Don't even get me started about Martin Atkinson. Oh, the guys. So Moura and Atkinson did their best to basically get the whole of the Liverpool team booked, particularly in the first half. Give me a view on Son then. So a lot of people looking at Son, 9 points something in FPL, so a lot of money.
It's too much money.
In a team that, all right, it was a better performance, but it's
still
hardly been cohesive over the last few weeks.
Agreed. I personally, for me, Son's is a hard no right now.
Okay.
I think there are far better options if you're looking to spend that much money than Son. I think if you start looking a little bit cheaper in that price bracket, Lucas Moura, I did think looked good.
Mm.
I do think Mourinho likes him. He seems to be playing him regularly, so I think he could be an option. I also think we've seen the last of Eriksen, I really do. I think you come off the pitch and you get that kind of...
He got a reception and a half, didn't he?
Yeah. From the Spurs crowd, that Spurs crowd were proud of him. They were really up for it and they were proud. And Eriksen come off and he was the only one where they were like, bothered by you.
Okay.
Lo Celso, I think, is one to watch because he is the
obvious...
Oh,
it was a big miss though, wasn't it? It was a big miss.
It was. But he is the obvious replacement for Eriksen. Now, up until recently, the comments have always been that he wasn't fully fit to play 90 minutes. Those seem to have disappeared. So for me, he seems to be the obvious choice to come in and do the Eriksen role.
Okay.
Now, I actually thought, forget that awful miss that he had, but otherwise I think he does a good job. Every time he's come on, I thought, you look good.
Makes like, a difference. Yeah, it does make a difference.
Make a difference in that team. So he's one that I've got on my radar because I'm on Delhi at the moment. I need to. He's going to go to allow me to do my Liverpool stuff. But
so that's your thoughts on Dele Alli, despite. Despite a slightly better showing at the weekend for Spurs in general.
He could have had some returns.
You are still thinking of selling them?
Yeah, because that's the unless I go for Firmino, and we'll talk about this a bit later on, but the obvious transfer is the one from the middle and taking out Dele.
Well, this is a good time to talk about it because obviously on the other side of the coin, Firmino scores again away from home.
Yeah.
I don't know what percentage of his goals are away from home. I want to say all of them. I don't know how many he's got at home. You guys can tell us in the comments. But
well, you mentioned on the FPL show about this, didn't you? About his level of his performance away from home versus performance at home.
Yeah. I genuinely couldn't tell you why that is. I don't know what it is about being away from home that he likes so much. I did think that the size of the pitch at Spurs helped.
He's got a new baby, is he at home? Getting a better night's sleep when he's away.
It's potentially, yes, potentially. Yeah, absolutely. But so yeah, Matthew Sol. Hey, Matthew Sol, how are you doing? He's saying Firmino scoring all of his goals away from home is ominous for game week 24. You'll never walk alone. Yes, I think you're spot on. And if it were to...
It's hard to overlook that.
It is. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I remember looking... It's a good time to talk about this in terms of what your double game week strategy is for Liverpool. Let's touch on this for a second because my thoughts were, up until this weekend, that you know Mane, not having Mane right now scares me for the double and still does because his ownership is up at, I think, 40-odd percent. Most of that 40% are going to captain him and a fair number are going to triple captain. So his effective ownership is going to be astronomical. So if he blows up against Wolves and West Ham in the double, you're going to plummet like a stone if you haven't got him at all. You're going to go down if you've got him. You're going to go probably stay about par if you've captained him, maybe up a little bit. And obviously if you triple captain him, you're going to be great. But to not have him at all is going to really hurt your rank unless the rest of your team has a stormer. But the problem I've got with that is if I've got Salah and Mane, I've got to do, and I said this before on the last live stream, I've got to do quite a lot of surgery to my team. And it probably means losing Kevin De Bruyne because I can't see any other sensible way of doing it. Then I look at Trent and Robbo at the back and I think, well, it probably means losing either Soyuncu or Lundstrom. I don't really want to do that either.
Can't lose the Lord.
And then I look up front and I say, well, if I want Firmino, probably got to lose Rashford. And Rashford's playing Burnley at home in game week 24. So I look at all these options and I'm thinking, I don't really know. I don't think I'm any clearer after the Spurs game as to where I want my third Liverpool player to come from. So you're in the same boat as me, Salah and Trent.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I'm going to hold it as long as I can before I make the decision, is my honest answer. I was all about, and the guys in the Slack and everyone else will tell you that I was all about Dele going for Mane. I was all about that.
Yeah.
And then I sat in the studio on Thursday night while Lee and James did their bit about Liverpool. And Lee started talking about the stats of players away from home.
Right.
And Jules and I, off camera, looked at each other and went, what? Like, because I hadn't appreciated how, and I'm not going to say poor, because they're never poor, but how different the stats for Mane and Salah. Forget Firmino for a minute, because we all know that. But how different the stats for Mane and Salah are when you compare them home and away.
Yeah, Salah's way better at Anfield.
And even Mane is better at Anfield. So you look at that, and then you... So in my head, I'm thinking, right, now, this is a pivotal moment for me. This is a pivotal moment in my seasons, depending upon where I end up, is my view.
I think you're spot on with that. I think this double game week for Liverpool,
what
decision you make about Mane, Salah, triple captain... I think this is a real turning point in people's seasons.
And I've ruled out the defensive one. I'm not doing that. So that's gone.
Trent and Robbo. Don't fancy that.
I'm not having Robbo. So
it's not a bad option.
I've just ruled that because I've got to rule something out.
Yes.
So that's gone. I'm not doing that. Okay. I'm going to have Trent.
So you're thinking goals in the double game.
So I'm going to go with goals because I'm looking at those fixtures against West Ham, who I think, by the way, and I'm currently writing a scout article, which will be out tomorrow. And I've written in that about how I think that... West Ham kind of, they flattered to deceive us in the first couple of games because we all forgot they were playing Bournemouth and Gillingham.
Okay.
And actually how I think that Liverpool will go to town on them in that game. And I also think that Liverpool can score goals against Wolves. So I'm looking at those fixtures and thinking, I want the three attackers. I obviously can't have them all because I've got Trent.
Yeah.
So then it's a case of, I've already got Salah. Mane's form away from home isn't as good as I would want it to be. And that was backed up again in the Spurs game. And then I'm looking at Firmino and I'm thinking, I've got the money in the bank to just upgrade any of my front three to Firmino, no problem.
Okay.
The thing that puts me off doing it is that if I get Firmino, I feel like I'm doing it only for the double game week, because after the double game week, I wouldn't keep him.
Mm.
Whereas if I get Mane for the double game week, I'd keep him and I'd have the three of them moving forward, because the Liverpool fixtures are good. But do I want Firmino over the rest of the Liverpool fixtures? Well, no. And so that's where my predicament lies. Because if it was solely about 24 and then the Liverpool fixtures were terrible, I'd just get Firmino.
Yeah.
I'd just do Firmino, because that's where I feel like I'm comfortable.
Okay.
But the fixtures are good afterwards.
Yeah. I actually think with those fixtures afterwards, there can be a case for Trent and Robbo. I think in terms of balance for your team after that game with double game week, from 25 onwards for a few weeks, I think there's a case to be made for balance there with Trent and Robbo and maybe one of the Mane and Salah midfield. Let's get into the live chat. Let's see what you guys are saying before we move on with the games, because we're already at 45 minutes, Sam.
We've done two games.
Let's see what you guys are saying. MU Fan TV is saying, Sam, I'm here for such analysis. Thank you. So thank you. So there we go. Nice. Thank you, MU Fan
TV. You're
welcome.
Nice that somebody thinks I talk sense every now and then.
Yes, exactly. FPL Chancellor Dan is in. How are we doing, Dan?
How are you, Dan?
He's saying there won't be any rest and rotation. And some of you guys are saying in the live chat that, you know, Mane or Salah might be rested.
Nah.
Dan is saying Liverpool's double game week is spread over two midweek fixtures. I think Dan is spot on with that. There are six whole days between those two fixtures.
Yeah. No chance of
rest. Don't think there's any problem with rest and rotation. Honestly, don't. Let's see
and
what
Klopp,
else you guys
at Klopp
are saying.
Last night, so annoyed. He wants to put out his best team and do well.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Henley is saying Liverpool could batter West Ham but won't batter Wolves. You could absolutely be right, Matt, but even a battering for one of those fixtures could be enough if you play the right captain. There's no doubt about it. Millian Dawson is saying, why not Salah, Mane and Firmino for double game week 24? Why not just go all out attack, Sam, if you're expecting goals?
Because moving forward, I want Trent still. So
it's
I
just that
be,
bit of, yeah,
I'll be
bit
losing
of imbalance.
My money that I've invested in him to then bring him back again. It makes no sense.
Very good. Penfold211 is saying Trent, Mane and Bobby. Okay, like that. Devesh is saying Mane's price is rising.
Yeah, it always is.
Martin Boyle, if in doubt, do nothing. I think Martin, probably need to act. This is a pivotal game week. This Liverpool double game week, I predict, is going to have a big influence on red and green arrows for the season. I honestly do. Jamie says he's in exactly the same predicament as me, and I think the same predicament as you, therefore, because you and I are both on the same two Liverpool players right now. Let's see. I might free hit in game week 22, Gavin Gould is saying. Well, listen, that could be an option. It could be an option. Nirad Sharma is saying Rashford has a knock. Yes, I think it is just a knock. I remember seeing a tweet, I think from Rashford himself, saying that it was largely a precautionary substitution, given that United were kind of walking that game, to be honest with you. It seemed like a sensible thing to do, to bring him off if he felt like he had a bit of a knock. So there we go. Flynn XD is saying Bobby triple captain. Aaron Chen, time to go ballsy. Bobby triple captain. So
I feel like, do you know what? And I feel like if I own Bobby, I'd do that.
I mean, if that paid off, the green arrow would be sexy, wouldn't it?
About
10% owned.
If that came off, though, I'd probably break the top 1K, and that's where the incentive comes to do it.
Goodness me.
I've never been that high.
Dread FPL. Don't triple captain Bobby, he's saying. There we go, guys. Loads and loads of discussion throughout the week on podcasts. We'll talk about it on Ohana as well for the patrons amongst you. We'll talk about it, obviously, this time next week in terms of what lies ahead for the Liverpool double game week. We want to get your thoughts as well. Get in the comments below if you're watching the replay. Let us know what your thoughts are for the Liverpool double. You going double at the back, double in midfield? Are you thinking about Firmino now that he's scored the only goal against Spurs?
If there was a chip that says I could have four.
If there's a chip that you could have four, there you go, official FPL. Get onto that one. Get on this polls, guys, as well. As we said at the top of the show, there is a question in there about what are you planning to do with the Liverpool double game week. I bet you that poll result is more equally balanced than it was last week. There we go. That is the FPL Family Derby well and truly covered. Liverpool with the win. I'm obviously happy with it.
That's
but goodness
it done
me.
For the season now. We don't have to talk about Liverpool versus Spurs.
Not anymore. No,
anymore,
not anymore.
Unless we get drawn in the cup.
Yes. Or are you out of the Champions League? No, you're
Excuse
in the Champions League.
Excuse me?
Could be Champions League final again is what I'm saying.
You get out of the Champions League.
I tell you, we're doing all right in the Champions League. A quick word on Manchester United 0, Norwich 4. A bit like the Leicester and Saints game. I'm not going to sit here and say told you so, because football's unpredictable. But I kind of felt like you know, a lot of people thinking about selling Rashford or Martial ahead of this game. And I think we had a tweet on the FPL show last week about should I sell Martial. I think the answer was absolutely no, because Norwich, you know, can't play a low block. So they all they really know is to go forward. So United's counter-attack absolutely suits the style of Norwich's play. And so it proved. Two goals for Rashford. Of course, we've got to look out for that knock. He says it's not too bad. I think Ollie says it's not too bad. To be honest with you, he probably, say it quietly, but I'd probably bench him for Liverpool away.
Well, I was going to say, because...
Probably. I don't know.
But then if you're going to get rid of him anyway for game week 24 because you're going to pick Bobby, why would you not do it?
Possibly. Ahead of Liverpool? Apparently, I said the score the wrong way around. Did I say Man United nil Norwich 4?
Did you?
Obviously, a dream I had. Obviously, a really nice dream I had, guys. No, Man United 4, Norwich 0.
Norwich can't score
4. Norwich 4-0 at Old Trafford would be... Oh, the smile on my face would be bigger than this, Josh. I can tell you.
Could you imagine if we'd have come out of watching the Spurs game and it had gone across the bottom of the screen that Norwich had won 4-0? We both fell off the sofa.
Woohoo! But no, United did look good. And what I will say about that is I did think that, obviously, like I say, I think the Norwich style suited them. You as a non-Manchester United owner right now,
yes.
Liverpool away next, so I'm guessing you're not thinking about it
yet.
But for game week 24,
yes.
Obviously all the talk's about Liverpool.
Yes.
But there are a few teams in game week 24 that, because we're all talking about Liverpool, we're probably overlooking it. And I would say Man United at home to Burnley,
yes.
is one that we probably are overlooking a little bit.
100%.
Yeah. Rashford or Martial in for 24 onwards? How are you feeling about that?
Yes, probably yes, I think.
Okay.
I've got two free transfers for this week, and we'll talk about this anyway in a minute. And then obviously I'll have another one going into game week 24.
Sure.
So what I'm hoping to do is kind of sort out some of my issues now and then deal with the last one and as time comes. But the bottom line is, yes, I would like to own a Manchester United asset. It's one of my biggest regrets of my wild card, in reality, is that I didn't go on with... I nearly did Martial, if you remember, a while back.
Yeah.
And that's one of my biggest regrets of the season so far, is that I didn't bring him in. But I wasn't... I just didn't know if I trusted him consistently enough, and that was my issue.
Okay.
And again, ahead of next week, I don't want either of them for next week.
Okay.
I won't play them against Liverpool, so...
All right.
But I would like them for Burnley, yes, absolutely. I feel like that'll be a red arrow if
okay.
I don't.
Very quick question, because we've got to move on. Andrew McLean is saying... Is Williams, the fullback, a viable Manchester United option? Now, I think, guys, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think he's 4.0 in the game. Got an assist because he got fouled. And actually, he won the foul in a very intelligent and very mature way, actually. I mean, I don't know what Kroll's doing coming out 100 mile an hour, but Brandon Williams just nicks the ball and goes down, doesn't he? Now, touches in the opponent's half for this game week across the whole game, Sam. Interestingly... it was Yao Cancelo from Man City first, top of the list for touches in the opponent's half. Second, Mr. Williams.
Was he really?
So second for touches in the opponent's half across the entire game in game week 22, Brandon Williams. 4.0 in the game? Maybe worth considering.
100%, because...
Seems to have Ollie's trust, doesn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, as Josh pointed out earlier, I don't know if it was in the Slack or I can't remember, but he was talking about how actually, you know, when you're looking to free up money ahead of Liverpool... Changing those cheaper ones down to a 4.0 makes
just
absolute
get you that
sense.
A little bit extra.
It makes absolute sense.
Yeah, okay, so look out for him. Like I said, I think he's got the trust of Ollie, so I think you're relatively safe bringing him in. And of course, gets the assist this weekend. Look very forward thinking, as the stats suggest.
Have a look. You can
have
bench him.
Of course.
You know, that's just ideal.
Of course. Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 6. What else is there to say about City? I personally don't think they're going to lose a game between now and the end of the season. I think they look bang up for it again, and I include the game against us in that.
You think that'd be you?
No, I think it'd be a draw. I'd be very happy with a draw as well. So I think...
Where is it?
Actually, don't know. I was just thinking that. But
if it's away, Bobby will go.
Bobby will score, yeah, possibly. But listen, 6-1, Aguero with a hat-trick, now the Premier League's highest-scoring foreign player. Mahrez, if you took a punt on him like Josh, 2 goals... and an assist as well. Missed the assist. 2 goals and an assist for Mahrez. So that is a nice 15, 16 points
probably
for him.
Probably a million bonus points as well.
Yes, got the 2 bonus points. Aguero obviously gets the 3. Mahrez with the 2. And of course, De Bruyne with 2 assists as well. And Jesus even chipping in with a goal and assist. So if you've got any Manchester United assets, Manchester City assets, I should say, then they would have done well for you this week. Despite losing the clean sheet at the last minute. So any of you guys that are sticking around on Edison... Or if you've still got, for some reason, Mendy in your team or somebody like that, John Stones. Not sure why you'd have John Stones. But the last-minute penalty from El Ghazi, not Grealish, interestingly.
Yeah.
I was disappointed that as a Grealish owner.
Okay, so as a Grealish owner then, because I think this is worth mentioning, because part of the appeal of Grealish, surely, is that he has penalties.
Yes, it is.
So he's playing in a Villa team that are, sorry Villa fans, dreadful.
Yeah, they don't look good.
They're injury ravaged.
Yeah.
He is literally the only one. And now he doesn't have pens either. Yeah.
I must admit, as soon as he didn't step up for that penalty, I'm considering transferring out.
Yeah.
Because he is 6 points something in the game. Now, he still represents good value, and the fixtures still look good. But it depends on, it goes back to what's my Liverpool double game week strategy going to be. If I need the money to get Mane, then Grealish to someone like Fleck or Dendonka could be on.
Fleck got stuff again this week.
Fleck got it stuck
Dendonka
in again.
Dendonka did.
Yeah. Now, these are not great picks, those guys. I think Grealish are better picks. But if I need a couple of million to finance Mane, that's one of the areas I'm going to get it from. Now, it does mean I've got Cantwell and Fleck potentially in my midfield. But nevertheless, I've still got three quite reasonable sized strikers up top. So I could probably bench one of those two, no problem.
Yeah.
So a lot depends on what I decide to do with Liverpool. But Grealish is now on the chopping block for me, yes. Because I thought, despite not being in that game at all and getting a frustrated yellow card, not just frustrating from an FPL perspective, but
he was frustrated.
That's why he got the yellow card. It's a silly yellow card.
And I can see that happening more often, actually, because he's going to get frustrated in these
possibly
games.
Yeah, possibly. So then for Villa to get the penalty in the last minute, I thought, well, I've jammed into, what, 5 or 6 pointer from Grealish out of absolutely nothing. In a game they've lost 6-0, he's going to get something. And then El Ghazi steps up. So I'm like, my Jack Grealish 1-pointer was actually, in the end, a bit disappointed. Not that I was expecting a lot, but I was a bit disappointed not to get that. So nevertheless, but from a City perspective, very quickly, because we are really running out of time, Aguero an option now?
Yes, I guess so.
Sure though, right?
I'm still not convinced, because I still don't trust Pep to play him every week, and he's too expensive if he's going to get rotated. Now, if he's going to play Jesus and Aguero together every week, then fine. But he's not, because Sterling's going to come back in. So then somebody's getting rested. Who's getting rested? I just can't deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's tough. Same with Mahrez. I mean, Bernardo Silva on the bench today could easily come in for Mahrez. I think he actually went into that game thinking he smelt blood a little bit against Villa. And if you looked at some of the underlying stats before the game, Villa were conceding a lot of shots in the box, conceding a lot of possession in their own half.
Right, 100%.
And he just went for it. He was like, right, two strikers, Mahrez, De Bruyne, you need to do the, you need to be box to box, but, push forward a little bit too. Yeah. And I absolutely bossed it.
I'm still, and, I know it's ridiculous when they just won 6-1, but I'm still happy to just have KDB.
Yeah. And if you're a Sterling owner?
No.
I think you have to move on now, don't you? Regrettably.
It's too much money.
But if he played today, he'd have got two or three.
But that's the point, Lee. He doesn't play every game. So get Salah, get Mane, spend the money on someone else.
I know. All right, super chat from Suraj. Thank you, Suraj, for the super chat. He is saying, Sam, what do you think? Best goalkeeper to replace Henderson in the coming weeks? Now, we can get your view on whether you want to replace Henderson or not in a second. But Suraj does. Ryan Martin, which is an interesting one. I know it's the double game week coming up, but goodness me, he's not much of a keeper. Or Pickford, or would you keep Henderson?
I was 100% keep Henderson.
I think Henderson's been really good this season, hasn't he?
Pickford and Foster, if you watch me on the FPL show, you'll see this. Pickford and Foster are really good for up until game week 26. They're really nice. And then the fixtures take a little turn. Otherwise, I'd just be holding Henderson. Henderson looks great.
He's great, isn't he? Every time Sheffield United get that clean sheet, I straight away think of your double, because I know you would have gone double. Very, very quickly, Sheffield United, obviously, Lundstrom actually went off a bit early, actually, didn't he?
He deserved his 6 points.
I think so, yes. I wonder whether, maybe Chris Wilder's thinking he wanted to give him a bit of a rest, maybe. Just in the last few weeks, there's a few people grumbling about Lundstrom, and I think that's not necessarily because he's putting in less effort. I just think it's high expectations, and actually, over the Christmas period, he played a lot of minutes. So I wonder whether Chris Wilder sees him as a bit of a very important part of that first 11, so I might just take him out every now and again and give him a breather. A lot of people think, he got brought off early, but I see that's a good thing. That is Wilder investing and protecting his best players.
And look, when it's a defender that comes off early,
not going to take him out.
And they kept the clean sheet, I'm happy.
Not going to take him out. But if you're a West Ham fan, I guess you can be a bit disappointed with the handball at the end by Declan Rice, if you're going to call it a handball. we've said this before, I don't think you are, considering any West Ham players for the double.
That game
sealed their fate, basically. Yeah.
I'm not getting any West Ham players for the double.
Yeah.
There are better single, and this is what my article is about, read it tomorrow. There are better single game week players to have than there are West Ham's over the double.
And I think the lack of Fabianski
is massive.
And the potential for...
Have you read my article?
I haven't yet, but I will, of course I will.
That's what I've written about.
But with a dodgy goalkeeper between the sticks, they're even less of an option for the double game week.
Totally agree.
Focus on the Reds, I would say. Palace 1, Arsenal 1, Aubameyang with the goal and then the red card. And did you know, interesting stat, most of you guys would have seen this on Twitter if you follow me, at FPL Family. That's the first time an Arsenal player has been sent off and scored in the same game since Mikel Arteta. And it happened away at Crystal Palace. Spooky, eh? Spooky. So there we go. Weird fact of the day. Arsenal then, absolutely sensational. Sensational for 25 minutes. And then...
did Arsenal things.
And then okay. And then not great.
Did Arsenal things.
So I still think the... it's still a watching brief for me with Arsenal. I still feel like that Arteta's going to get them going. And I said this on Twitter, yeah. And I think on the Slack before we come on... I think they're going to be a force next year, Arsenal. I think they're going to be a force because he's getting them well drilled. They're working hard. They're pressing, and at the moment they haven't got the fitness or decent enough players to do it. But he's got the right mentality, I think, Arteta. Without getting into a massive Arsenal chat, any FPL assets on your radar for Arsenal right now?
There's a lot of them, to be fair.
Right.
It's working out who, and that's the issue I have, is because I don't trust Özil to keep playing properly.
Okay.
I'm not sure yet about Pepe. But I do feel like Arsenal have turned a corner, and I know they still have a tendency to do things like they did at the weekend, but I do feel like there is definitely potential to own them. It's just working out which one's the right one. So they're all on my radar until they write themselves off of it.
All right. Milan Milic, you're saying Pepe under the spotlight now. Yeah. Well, I think he's, given his price tag, he's been under the spotlight for a while. But
he just should be better than he is for the price he costs.
Yeah, I just wasn't impressed with him again at the weekend. He looked like a sort of 20, 25 million squad player. I'm just not feeling him just yet. Sam O'Sullivan, Arsenal assets too expensive to take a punt on. And I think, Sam, you've hit the nail on the head. They are a punt right now.
They
feel like a punt. If you bought in Lacazette, that's a punt. A player that you might want to have a look at getting because of his price, actually, Ayew up front for Palace. Now, if we're thinking about funding the Liverpool assets for 24, Ayew, nice cheap price if you want to go there with your front line.
It was Jack's essential differential on the pod this
week. Very good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we've said a few times that he's a really nice enabler. He plays every week. Doesn't get you a lot of attacking returns, but we'll get some. And if it enables you to have the big hitters that you want, then might be an alright.
Okay. All right. Quick word on Bournemouth nil Watford 3 then, simply because Joe's in and he's saying he's sitting here eagerly awaiting the Watford
waiting
chat.
And
so we do have to spend at least 42 seconds on Watford. I've said before, I say it again, Deeney back in that side makes a massive difference, no doubt about it. A word on Decore playing in number 10, slightly just behind him, playing through the pain barrier. And his goal today, I think it's a goal and an assist actually today. We shouldn't be, I feel like I'm surprised by it. And I feel like that's bad FPL management on my part to be surprised by Decore on the basis that the last 3 weeks, he's actually looked pretty good and he's been getting the FPL points. So why have I missed Decore other than I'm rubbish?
You're not rubbish. You're not rubbish. I think it's just a case of with respect to Joe and the other Watford fans that listen, I don't think it's that you've missed it. I think it's just that we all wanted to see that Watford were more than just a bit of new manager bounce.
Yeah.
That it was more than just a couple of weeks and then we were going to go back to seeing bad Watford again.
Yeah.
And what we've seen over the last 3 or 4 weeks is that Watford, since that Liverpool game, have continued to grow and improve under Pearson. Nigel, also sometimes known as Neil.
Neil, as you called him on the FPL show on Thursday night. Neil Pearson, love it.
They continue to improve under him. And I think it's at this stage, only after a few weeks, where you actually really start to look in on these players and think about which one should I invest in.
Okay.
And so I don't think it's that you've been a bad FPL manager because you're only starting to look at them now. I think actually, if anything, that's sensible FPL management because we're not taking a punt.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. because we're not just going to go, oh, well, they've got a new manager, so it must be fine forever now.
Okay.
Because we often see that it isn't, and it's just a bounce that falls apart again. Whereas with Watford, it feels like it's a bounce that's going to hold.
Okay. And FPL Chancellor Dan is saying, Sarr is a fun player, confidence building, you're going to get better. Another assist for him this week.
Like him.
Absolutely. Do like the look of him. Anything else you want to discuss in here? No time to talk about Chelsea 3, Burnley 0, other than to say, whichever team is playing Burnley, have a look at them, because Burnley are absolutely terrible. Everton 1, Brighton 0, so the new manager bounce with Carlo Ancelotti continues with those guys. Defensively looking a lot better, hence the Holgate transfer. Sidibe, as we mentioned before, also a good option. Luca Dean with the assist, so a nice assist and clean sheet for Luca Dean. The only thing I will say is that obviously if you're going to go Sidibe or Luca Dean, you've got to pay a bit for premium, whereas Holgate coming at 4.4, might even be 4.5 now. Cheap. If you're looking to get off of the Burnley defence, off of Rico, he's a nice option, I think.
Loving him right now.
Wolves 1, Newcastle 1. Apart from the fact that Almiron has now scored 3 in 3 weeks, and goodness me, he's essential.
Entered the Twilight Zone.
We've entered the Twilight Zone. Wolves, I was expecting to win that game, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Moutinho for you, come in. So yes. That's a 6-pointer. Happy days.
Played him as well.
I think if you've got Jimenez or Traore, I don't think you panic for the next week or so, because I think Wolves have got Southampton away, which actually now a difficult game given the form that the Saints are in.
That is not easy.
But then they play Liverpool at home, Manchester United away, Leicester at home, before Norwich at home in game week 27. So actually that Southampton away game, given that it's blue on the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, I would say that's now... So the next four for Wolves actually look pretty tricky. So I know you've got Moutinho. If you had Jimenez, Traore, you know, would you be thinking about getting off of these guys?
Traore, no. I think price means that you don't need
good
to
value.
Move him on.
Yeah.
But Jimenez probably, yeah, because I think, you know, with Rashford's game in 24 as it is against Burnley, with basically anyone that's playing Bournemouth, there are other forwards that you could have for that same price that would potentially be better value over a difficult game.
FPL Schwartz Martin is saying Moutinho with just 2! Sam O'Sullivan, Traore is so frustrating, passes the eye test, but doesn't do much. Well,
he's cheap. You can't have it every week.
He's cheap. Not going to get your points every week, Sam. Be patient with him, we're saying. Be patient. I'm saying sell ahead of those fixtures. Goodness me.
Are you? Tricky.
I would think so. I think there's some real tough fixtures there. Going to St Mary's now, next week, that's not easy. And then it's 3 back-to-back games against top 6.
Okay.
Make your own mind up, guys. Make your own mind up. There we go. So those are the games. Let's go up here and let's go to the OBS and let's talk about the Manager of the Month League for December.
How's
so,
it go? For January. It's so, January.
Yeah, do you know what? I said that last time. Do you know the reason I say that? It's because in OBS I've set up the little the scene here as MOTM, Deck Patron, and I just haven't changed it yet. But of course you're right. We're of course in a new year.
We've
said Happy New Year. We've done all of that. It is the Manager of the Month for January. Thank you very much. So Ashia May is at the top right now with 154 points. A game week score, Sam, check this out. 81 points this week.
Wow.
81 points. Coming from 10th straight up to first.
Love
with
that.
The 81 pointer. So well done, Ashia. Really, really nice game week. Second, David Granell, not too far behind him on 148. 67 points this game week. So looking very good.
Nice game week.
Nicola in third. Tony in fourth. Myself actually in fifth. Goodness me, I'm happy with that.
Hello.
Come out of nowhere there.
How are you?
145 points for the month, doing all right. And then we've got Oratilo in at 6, and we've got Jemima, one of our new patrons, in at 7. All quite tightly bunched up. So Jemima's on 141, and Ashia's on 154.
Now Jemima had a very good December. Do you remember? And she lost it in the last couple of weeks.
Yes, we're rooting for you, Jemima. We're rooting for you. That would be awesome if you won it, because she did only just miss out, didn't she in December?
She did. Kyle beat her, didn't he? Right at the desk.
So there we go. It is looking pretty competitive in the January Manager Month. So well done, guys. Well done to Ashia. 81 points
that is
in game
really
week 22.
Brilliant.
Really, really good. If you want to find out what we're talking about here, go have a look at our Patreon site, patreon.com/FPL family. All the links, of course, in the description below. If you want to consider supporting us at the $5 tier, you can take part in our Manager of the Month competitions. Now, January is closed, and we do that. I always do that after the deadline for the second game week of the month has passed. To be fair to the guys that are already in it, because if you think about it, you could be having a smashing, an amazing January and joining the last week and then just fly straight to the top of the league.
This January one, I've just realised it's all going to come down to your game week 24 it's gonna be, yeah. Liverpool strategy.
It is. So that I think January's manager of the month is going to be all about the Liverpool strategy.
It will,
but patreon.com/FPL family. If you want to get into the February manager month, the code for that will be available over the next couple of weeks. Of course, there's loads of other stuff that you get by being a patron of FPL Family. Access to our Slack chat channel, as well as access to our additional and bonus overhaul on a podcast that we do every single Friday. The Manager of the Month prizes, by the way, right behind you here. We do, we've got a Champions of Europe Liverpool signed shirt here. We've got the Spurs signed White Hart Lane sign up there with Kane and Eriksen and Dele Alli. Of course, doesn't have to be just a Liverpool or a Spurs prize. If you go to our sponsors, Kicking the Balls, with two S's, kickingtheballs.com. Links in the description below. Go check out their wares. They've got all sorts of stuff for all sorts of clubs. Not just UK Premier League clubs either. European clubs.
All sorts.
Not just football, actually. Boxing, Formula One, all that sort of stuff. So if you want to go and check them out, that's where we get our prizes for our Manager of the Month. So you can either win the prizes there or go check them out on the website, kickingtheballs.com. And you should use the code FPLFamily10.
No, FPL10. It's changed.
Oh, has he changed it? You're absolutely right. He has changed it. Don't use FPL Family 10. Despite the fact that's in the description below, just use FPL 10. I'm pretty sure that both of them will work for the time being. But FPL 10 is the code that you need to use if you want to head over to kickingtheballs.com. So there we go. Good luck to the rest of you guys in the January manager month. And we'll see how that updates this time next week.
Ooh.
On with the team. So here's my team for game week 22. Very, very happy with game week 22. 72 points, very happy with that, up to 1,304 points for the season. The climb continues.
You had a really good roll.
Doing very well. So up until, and you guys that follow us regularly, follow me on Twitter will know this, that throughout November I was having a pretty steady time of it. I was sort of hovering around 100k and I was getting stuck there. I couldn't really do anything. Then I had, I made one of my favourite transfers of the season, probably not my best, but my favourite, which was Pope to Gaita, that pushed me right up into the 90s and 80s.
Ridiculous.
And since then, Christmas has just been really, really good to me. So previous overall rank was 64k last week. I'm up to 42k this week. Obviously very, very, I know, give me a tissue and a nosebleed up here. The air's quite thin up here, isn't it? How have you survived this long?
I'm basically dead.
He's resuscitating. So 72 points. 42k, very, very happy. Really glad to see, obviously, the Kevin De Bruyne two assists. I must say, when he got hauled off early...
Oh, he was so annoyed.
I was a little bit annoyed at that, because I thought there was more points to come for Kevin De Bruyne in
that
game. I
was relieved as a non-captain.
I can imagine
you
were.
Get off, Kevin.
And then, of course, the Grealish non-penalty thing that happened in the last minute. I was like, actually, that's 72. I don't know, maybe I'm being greedy, guys, I don't know. But, you know, you've got to be greedy for FPL points. It could have been an 80-odd pointer for me this game week. But listen, I'm not complaining with 72. Holgate coming in as my transfer in 7 points. Very happy with that. Rashford with the 12. Had he stayed on for a couple more minutes, we'd have been 14. But listen, we'll take the 12. And then it was just a case of everybody else chipping in. Abraham, Vardy, Trent and Lundstrom doing, you know, the usual stuff for those guys and getting their sixes. So
even Gaeta got you a save point, right?
Gaeta got the three, yeah. So actually, it was one of those game weeks where everybody kind of just chipped in and I picked the right captain. So very happy to go from 64k to 42k. The climb continues, Sam.
The climb continues.
And of course, every game week that I have that's good, I think, that's it. I'm getting a step closer to you. I've done you by about 10 or 20 points. But of course, that's not the case because you're going to have a flipping good game week as well. So talk us through your team. 69 points for the game week, up to total points of 1,343. And another, Sam, another green arrow. Talk us through it.
Just Dele let me down. The rest of them, Sheffield United double up at the back, legends, pair of them. In fact, the whole of the defence, really excellent.
Holgate thumbs up, yeah.
Yeah, so that transfer came off royally because obviously I took out Toby for Holgate, so that was great.
So everyone's returned, I think,
but
except Dele Alli.
Yeah.
So it was a really well-rounded team performance, to be fair.
They were all excellent. And even, you know, Dele is a transfer waiting to happen. We've known that for a while. I wasn't keen to do it, and it would have only been to Mane if I'd have done it last week, who wouldn't have returned either. So, you know, it's fine that didn't happen. Wrong captain, it was on Vardy, and
sure. It
was very much, and I'll be honest, it was very much a shield captain. I was on KDB for quite a while, and in the end I was just like, if Vardy bangs, it is going to kill me not having him, and I'll fall down the rank. Now, it killed me a little bit with KDB, because I was at 5k, so it took 1,000 off.
KDB's pretty well owned as well. I was actually surprised when you said... so I wasn't surprised to see you captain Vardy. I thought, yeah, fine, half the world's going to do that. But your reasons for doing it was that if I don't, I'm gonna get hit. Well, you're gonna get hit with De Bruyne as well, and arguably with maybe not so much Salah, but De Bruyne and Vardy can't be too far away in terms of.
No, they were in terms of the number of captains' armbands on them.
And oh, really?
That's what kills it. It's not about ownership levels; it's about who trusts them with the armband.
Okay.
Vardy was always looking like he was going to be much more highly owned, highly captained than KDB. And in my mind, I was like, KDB, if I don't captain him, he'll cost me. But if I don't captain Vardy, it'll kill me. So KDB actually cost me about 1,000 in rank. Vardy would have probably been more like 3 or 4. So at that stage, it's a big deal. So yeah, I'm really pleased with them. I've got 2 free transfers going into game week 23. One of them will undoubtedly be Gaeta out.
Oh, sacrilege.
For Foster.
Okay.
Because it will save me the money I need to move Dele to Mane. And I want to have that money ready so that if I decide that that's the transfer I'm doing, I can do it.
Okay.
If I decide I want to do Firmino, then I've got loads of money. So it's just a decision.
Yeah, I certainly think the team is nicely set up. It's looking good. There's plenty of options on the bench. So yeah, nice, solid, more than solid team performance. 69 points up to 1,343, an overall rank, Sam, of 6,000, which is absolutely sensational.
Yeah.
Very, very good indeed. To be getting green arrows when you're inside the top 10K and you're moving up the top 10K.
It's a big one
as well
at that
brilliant.
Stage. It's
really good.
From 9 to 6, that's really a big arrow.
I'm really
happy with that.
Loving that. Very good indeed. So there we go. A good week, actually. Game week 22. Good for both of us. A good week for both of us. So I'm in at, what did I say, 42K. You're in at 6K. So we're having a good season, you and I, to be fair.
We're
all right,
aren't we?
I'm doing all right, to be fair, yeah. Doing all right. We should start a YouTube channel or something. let's see what's going on this week. Actually, for us, strangely, not as much as we usually do. You've got the podcast on Thursday.
Yeah.
Is that it, or are you also on FYI?
I'm not doing the pod this week. I'm doing FYI this week. What are you talking about?
I got this totally wrong, haven't I?
You asked me before we came on what I'm doing. I bet
you said you'd done the pod this week.
I'd done the pod last week.
I don't know.
I'm doing FYI this week
with James
and Rambo. Ignore that.
I've got the wrong image.
I'm doing FYI.
Nice to see Mr. Richardson, of course, you know.
Always delightful
always
to
nice.
See that, James. I'm going to see the other James and Rambo this week on FYI. I'm also, as I've mentioned already, writing a Scout article for this week. That'll be out tomorrow, as will the next round of Sam versus Lee be out tomorrow. And there'll be a Sam Says in the middle of the week.
Oh, so there you go. I could not be more wrong on this slide. I started off by saying, you're not going to hear much from us this week.
Well, you won't hear much from you.
I might be a little bit quiet, but of course, you'll be doing lots of stuff, but not the podcast. As the screen suggests, you'll be on FPL, FYI, with Mr. James Goldcott and Rambo. No chilies this week, I've been told. No chilies. In fact, they actually need some suggestions for what this month's Rambo versus James forfeit is going to be. So you need to tune into that, guys. FPL, FYI, which is normally out middle of next week, maybe Thursdays? Yeah, shoot it Wednesdays.
Yes,
it'll be out
Thursday.
So get over to the Premier League's YouTube channel, hit subscribe over there, and you'll be notified when FPL FYI is live. Sam's on this week, and get into the comments of the last video. Go check out the James Eats a Ghost Chili video. Get in the comments and tell James and Rambo what you think they should be doing next week. What they should be doing next week. Now,
they were just like saying polls, is that
the live Love you guys. Love you guys. Polls. And then Sean Simon just comes in with, "Hi guys, hi Sean, nice to see you." We're about to wrap up, Sean, but it's very nice of you to join us.
And I'm not doing the pod, by the way.
Then you're not doing the pod. Ignore the screen right now.
Screen.
It's all sorts. Another hoops has said, "Grand polls, Lee. Grand polls. Yes, we should do the grand polls.
Put the polls up so that people don't think we're doing the pod."
I thought tonight was going quite well. It's all gone to guff right at the end, isn't it?
You know what it is, don't you? Because you know that when we get off of here, we get to go and watch Love Island. And that is where your head's gone.
I'm actually amazed that there's still 322 people watching. Thank you guys for sticking around and not going to Love Island. I know Tips has gone to Love Island. You know Harry's gone to Love Island.
I reckon Harry's got it on at the same time. He's got us in his ear in Love Island on the table.
I bet you now, Tips, by the time we finish the polls, if he's not commented in the live chat, he's on Love Island. We caught you out, Harry. Best polls, and of course, you know, like I say, it was going well, but the Patreon sign is still there. Oh no, he's here. Harry's here. I have both, he says. There you go.
You're all right.
Best premium Aubameyang replacements: Firmino, Aguero, Rashford, Lacazette, or Vardy, Sam? Who are you saying?
Vardy, okay.
30%, which is actually quite low, but I think that's mostly because, well, two things. One is a lot of people already got Vardy.
Yeah.
The winner of this particular question is Aguero. at 34. Now, there's a bit of recency bias there, potentially.
You see, I'm potentially really surprised.
Listen, 34% if you're going with Aguero. And by the way, the question is best premium Aubameyang replacement. So if you want to go to Danny Ings or Dominic Calvert-Lewin or to somebody like that, no issue with you doing that whatsoever. But if you want to stay in that premium bracket, most of you are saying move over to Aguero with 34%. Then it's Vardy at 30%. It's Marcus Rashford at 17%, Firmino at 15%, and then Lacazette just coming in, as we said before, unpredictable Arsenal at 1% for Lacazette. So again, don't really know what to do with Arsenal. Best midfielder for under 6.5, Traore, Grealish, Ismaila Sarr, Cantwell or Moutinho. Where would you go?
I actually really like Sarr, based on the Watford fixtures as well.
And I would say, given the fixtures, yeah, probably not a bad shout. So 33% of you guys going with Sam on Ismaila Sarr. Actually, 41% are saying stick with Jack Grealish. Stick with him, because the fixtures don't look too bad. So there we go, 41% of you.
Wow.
Keeping the faith with the England man. I say England man, he's English, not got a cap yet, but it's a travesty. He should get a cap, shouldn't he? Should get a cap. Grealish, 41%. Sarr, 33%. Traore, 12%. Cantwell, 10%. And Moutinho, 1%. There we go. Best Everton options, Sam. Calvert-Lewin, Richarlison, Sidibe or Holgate. You know you want to say Richarlison.
I'm going to say Sidibe.
But you're going to say Sidibe. Very
good. If you've got the spare cash.
I think I would have gone for Richarlison, and so it's proved. 48% of you going with Richarlison. He's only allowed to vote once. Richarlison, nearly half of you, 48%. Dominic Calvert-Lewin then next in at 23%. Holgate in at 15%, and then Sidibe in at 12%. Yeah, he comes last in that.
Wow,
actually,
I'm surprised. If I had the money, I'd have gone for him 100%.
It's interesting that you know, I don't think any of those are bad options.
No,
to be honest with you, I think they're all pretty good.
Apart from Richarlison,
we move from Merseyside down to Hertfordshire. Best attacking Watford options, and Sam Deeney, Sarr again is in here, or Deulofeu, Doucouré, or there's an option to select prefer the defence, if you prefer the defence. I'm going to go with Ismaila Sarr again.
Yes, just about.
Just about, Ismaila Sarr. Okay, well, the guys are tending to agree with you. 50% of you guys, half of you going for Ismaila Sarr, 23% going with the newly reinstated man up front, Troy Deeney.
Yeah.
10% on the back of this week and the previous three or four game weeks going with Doucouré. Deulofeu in at 8%, and then prefer the defence, 7%. So I think what we can deduce from that is actually, if you're going to invest in Watford,
go all of them.
Have a look at the attack, for sure. Defence is worthy of some, particularly Ben Foster between the six, worthy of some attention, but certainly the attacking options are the best ones. And Ismaila Sarr, you guys have seen enough. Looking like he's coming in. Half of you prefer him. And then, Sam, the Liverpool double in game week 24. Same question that we asked last week. I suspect we'll ask it again next week. Two defenders, one mid. Two mids, one defender. Or actually, I'm now considering Bobby Firmino.
Is that how it's worded? Then I'm now considering Bobby Firmino.
You're now considering Bobby Firmino. Only 21% going with you. So the majority of you guys, 47%, are saying two midfielders, one defender.
That's
so the Salah and Mane double up in midfield is still the popular option amongst the FPL family community. 30% of you going with the Trent and Robbo option in two defenders, one midfielder. And then 21% of you considering Bobby Firmino. Now, I bet you that 21% would have been single digits this time last week. I don't think many people were considering Bobby Firmino this time last week. And now he's in at 21%.
I agree.
Yeah, all right. So there we go. So overwhelmingly, you guys are still going for Mane and...
It's talking on your other phone.
What's it?
It's just started to talk.
Siri, pipe down over there, Siri. Goodness me. I thought it was going too well tonight. And what's happened now? How has that kicked off from over there? What did I say that kicked off Siri on the other phone?
I don't know, but stop saying the word Siri.
Bobby Firmino.
I don't know.
Liverpool double up. No, it's not having it. So there we go, guys. Those are the results of the polls. We will be asking that Liverpool question again next week. Ismaila Sarr. Just a random shout out. It's ridiculous. Given the new microphone, the Siri thing was probably picked up. I hope it was, otherwise we've just been shouting random footballers' names in a room and people are watching it on YouTube. There's 300 people watching us shout Ismaila Sarr at each other, Sam. That is what we've been reduced to after game week 22, guys.
It's because the oxygen's low up there.
It is, that's what it is. The air is thin up in the top of the FPL hierarchy. And I'm happy to be joining you.
You're in the top 50k now.
I can start to see the summit. Do you know what I mean? I can start to... You're up there, you know, you've planted your flag in the top of the mountain.
Not quite.
Oh, you're up there. No doubt. You and the rest of the top 6K are up there, looking down at the rest of us mere mortals and going, it's nice up here. Come and have a look.
33 points to the top 1K now.
Is that what it is? 33. That's, you know what would get you
triple
there?
Triple Captain Bobby for me, though.
Triple Captain Bobby would get you there.
I know.
It would. Well, there we go, guys. 42K for me, 6 for Sam. The FPL family duo, we're both doing really well for a change. Doing all right. I feel like I might get the Wooden Spoon trophy this season, but I might get it by default. Maybe neither of us deserves it. Long way to go. Long way to go. There's a long way to go, guys. There's 16 more game weeks to go. This is what you're crying for. This is the Siri thing. 16 game weeks to go. There's going to be doubles. There's blanks. There's chips. There's all sorts of stuff that's going to go on. All that's left for us to say is thank you for joining us for the Game Week 22 reaction. We will see you, of course, this time next week, Sunday night, 8 p.m, for a look at all of Game Week 23's action. Until then, you can catch Sam on Fantasy Football Scout. You can catch her on FPL FYI. And you can't catch me anywhere because I'm having a bit of a week off until
Sam
this time.
Me. Tomorrow.
Sam versus Lee. You catch me on Fantasy Football Scout. Sam versus Lee. There we go. Right, guys. See you soon. Well done again, week 22. Leave us a like before you go and hit that subscribe button. See you, guys.
Bye, guys.